morning. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we come before you today. We are grateful and thankful because we have been encouraged and blessed for having known one of your dear, precious saints. Lord, as we proceed together today, we invite your presence. We invite you to speak. We invite you to touch our hearts. We invite you to come and heal in all the places that we have need of you to come and meet us at our deepest point of need. We bless your name and we acknowledge that you are God and there is no other. Because of that, we do have reason to celebrate, and we will proclaim that over and over today as we join together in this time. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I get a chance to share with you the obituary, Miss Beverly Gale Floyd Reynolds. There will be several edits that I will add. First of all, we celebrate today the humility and the greatness of someone we had a chance and an opportunity to be blessed by. They don't put that in the obituary. Beverly Gale Floyd Reynolds, 78 of Savannah, died Sunday at Hospice Savannah. She was born in Savannah, Georgia, and was preceded in death by a son, William David Reynolds, and her parents, Marvin Floyd and Hilda Shepherd Floyd. She was a graduate of Commercial High School and was retired from Sears after 25 years of service as a sales associate. She was a former member of Pierce Memorial Methodist Church, Robert McIntyre Methodist Church, Ardsley Park Baptist Church, Crest Hill Baptist Church, and the Sycamore Church. Both Beverly and her husband, Dell, were instrumental in helping start the Sycamore Church. She supported missions and missionaries. She taught children in Sunday school. She taught mine. She might have taught many of yours, too. Dell and Miss Bev were married for 60 years. 60 years. She is survived by her husband, Delmer C. Reynolds. They had two sons, Dusty and Vic. Forgive me for not using the formal names. Vic's wife, Leanne. Dusty's wife, Audrey. The sister, Gloria Smithers Miles of Roanoke, Virginia. Brother, Marvin B. Floyd. His wife, Kathy, Miami, Florida. Four grandchildren, Rachel Reynolds, Brandon Reynolds, Logan Reynolds, and Megan Calder, and her husband, Greg, who's been able to be in and out in the last few days, which is great. You and I both know that this is just a proclamation of a homecoming. Now I would like to read Psalm 46, so if you would please listen as we hear what the psalmist wrote. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Would you stand together and we will sing a great hymn of faith?
Smile. Mr. Dale, we love Miss Bev a lot, and we're going to miss her a lot. But I'm going to read to you this morning the biblical description of Miss Beverly Reynolds. Are you ready? Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates and other places. Where he sits with other civic leaders, because he's a man of influence. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity. And she laughs. And she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise. You should say amen to that. And she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her, and this is what her husband says, Mr. Dale. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. You are declaring her praise publicly. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. To her Lord and Savior, to her family, to her many church bodies that she has been a part of, to many people that have only come in contact that may have never known her name. She was faithful to love without exception, to show and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That was the Miss Beverly that I've always known. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing. And Father, what a powerful example. Father, thank you for your word today to describe Miss Beverly. And there's many more. That's just one you put on my heart. Father, I ask today for a great outpouring of your compassion and your mercy, starting with Mr. Dale and on down through the family and the friends. Lord, we do miss her. But God, you miss things that you love a lot. And we love Miss Beverly a lot. But Lord, you loved her more. And you always will and you always have. Because you're the one that created her. And Father, I am blessed to be able to say today that I know because of her faithfulness to you, you're going to allow her to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name.
Sweet. behalf of our family, we'd like to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for all of you that you've called, you've emailed, you've texted, you've sent carrier pigeons, you've sent people with messages, you've sent cards, snail mail, letters. As best we could every day, we read those, every one of them, the Facebook post, all of it. We read it to Mom every single day. It was a glory, glory to God. But thank you for your presence, and most of all for your prayers today. At this time, Guy Salmon's childhood friend, whom my mother helped to raise, back then, you raised all the children that were in your house that came by. Guy has something he wants to come and read.
When I got the news that Beverly had passed away, I had to just sit down, put my thoughts on paper. What I'm going to read to you today are the thoughts that I had of Beverly as she allowed us to share that part of her life where we came into her life. My intention is to honor her today and maybe also to strike a harmonious chord with many of you as I read some of these things that I remember about Beverly. So listen prayerfully as I read this and think about yourself as I read these and see if some of these things don't strike you. And I thought it was interesting. The other gentleman this morning was reading from Psalms 31, and that's part of what I have in my notes as well today. But listen to this. My first recollections of Beverly were as a young lad of 9 years. We had just moved to Savannah and were attending Crest Hill Baptist Church. Beverly was one of the first people we met, and from that moment on, our families were dear friends. Her first priority was her family's spiritual well-being. First priority.
Amen.
Under difficult situations, she made sure her boys were in church and involved in its life. I remember once in a Sunday morning Sunday school class, we were, back then they had primaries and juniors. We were juniors at the time, that we were asked what we wanted to pray for. And Dusty, Beverly's son, said, he wanted his dad to know Jesus. Before Delma became a Christian, that's what Dusty was praying for. You know, we were praying for stuff, right, that we all wanted. Dusty was praying for his dad that he would become a Christian. It was God's will for that to happen. As I understand, there were many times and reasons that Beverly could have given up on Delma, but she didn't. As she lived out her gospel-centered life, Delma was drawn by the Holy Spirit to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he became one of those treasures that she would lay up in heaven. In junior high school, Dusty developed mononucleosis. Back then, it was the kissing disease. And so he got a lot of razzing about that. But he developed mononucleosis and was literally laid up for 14 weeks. In the den of their house is where she set up bedroom for him. And he was there for 14 weeks. And it was Beverly who nursed him every day. And then there's Vic. With his insatiable quest to take everything apart to understand its internal workings. If something had a screw on it, Vic was going to take it apart. But Beverly was forever diligent to keep him and home in one piece.
That in itself would have overwhelmed most women of weaker character. Right, Vic? But through it all, she persevered. Not only did she care for her own family, both physically and spiritually, but she cared for others. I cannot recall a time growing up that she ever refused to open her home to any of us stray boys coming back from a camping trip, ball practice, or any other adventure that we had gotten ourselves into. Many times we would find ourselves at her door with our dirty hands out for a free meal, and she always provided. Not only did she accommodate the frequent part-time drop-ins, but also open her home for long-term stays, as in the case of her nephew, Lou Bennett. And it was during those stays that he was greatly influenced to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he later entered the ministry, another laid-up treasure. Beverly loved watching her boys play in sporting events and would haul them wherever they needed to be. She put many miles on that old Pontiac. The old Pontiac with the fins on it. Remember that? That was Beverly's car. She and my mother were dear friends. I think they were drawn together because they shared many of the same things. Both had husbands that were always working, and both had younger children that were challenging. Both had husbands that shared late night hours together, poring over the scriptures. And many times, Mom and Beverly would spend time on the phone sharing their daily experiences. On occasions, though, Beverly would become a little mischievous when she felt that the girls at church needed her experience in dealing with the unruly boys. When she did, she was good at keeping the whole matter a secret and making us look foolish. When I look back on her life, I remember a fine Christian woman who was loving, kind, thoughtful, hardworking, and who loved the family that God had entrusted to her. She lived her life well. You know, God does not give us our rewards when we die, but he reserves them until the final judgment because the influence of our lives go on long after we have passed on. I am absolutely assured that Beverly's influence is not over and many more treasures will be added to her account because of the role she played in so many lives. Her influence reaches to people around the world through the work of family and friends her life has touched. Proverbs 31, Hebrews 12, and 2 Timothy 4 speak of Beverly Reynolds' life. Her husband Delma and her children Dusty and Vic rise up and call her blessed. Beverly ran with endurance the race that was set before her, and now she has fought the good fight. She has finished the race and kept the faith. There is laid up for her a crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself gives to her. I will miss her, but I am grateful that God allowed her to influence my life and that of my family. Now to the family. There will come times when memories of a wife, a mother, a mother-in-law, and a grandmother will flood your very core. Some will bring tears, and others will bring joy. Know this, that those memories are from God. They are to be cherished and allowed to affect your emotions and to touch you deeply. Remember, even Jesus wept at the death or the news of Lazarus' death. I believe he wept over the hold that death has on us, but also the memories of good times he had of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And to the rest of us here today, Beverly has now put off her corruptible body. It lays here. But she has been translated into one of the great cloud of witnesses spoken of in Hebrews 12. Therefore, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Beverly Reynolds has passed from this earthly life, but she is more alive today because she now sees Jesus face to face and very clearly. We want to thank her for her life and for the blessing that she provided to each one of us in this room today. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Beverly. And Lord, we thank you that you have taken her home. And we thank you that you have made her a part of that cloud of great witnesses that are cheering us on as we run the race that you have set before us. Father, I pray for the family today that you would give them strength and that you would give them comfort. And Lord, we know they have the assurance concerning Beverly. And we all know in our mind that Beverly is alive and well. But Lord, help us to make that a part of our life, that we may be comforted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Guy. At this time, Rick Smith is going to come forward. My cousin, our cousin, Lou Bennett, who I guess Lou and I are now, Aunt Gloria, we're now the senior people of the next generation. Lou would love to be here. He's pastor up in Bassett, Virginia. He was in a terrible automobile accident, was in ICU for 4 days, and just could not travel. I know his heart is here with us today. So I called him to ask him to write something so that we could share today. He said, I've already got it done. So Rick's going to share that with you now.
So imagine that I'm a little taller and a little broader. Reflections from Dr. Henry Luther Bennett, nephew of Beverly. Uncle Dell, Dusty, Audrey, Vic, and Leanne, mother, Uncle Bowie, the Reynolds and Floyd families, and dear friends of, those of you who know her know this name, Aunt Bep. When Dusty asked me today to write a few things about Bep and our family, I was overcome with gratitude. I cannot fully express the sadness that I feel that I cannot take my place among you today to support you and encourage you in the hope that we share in Christ Jesus at this service celebrating a life well lived. Thank you for the opportunity to express a few words of love and appreciation on behalf of Beth. I begin by saying that I honestly cannot remember a time in my life that Beverly Reynolds' influence was not felt. In my estimation, she no doubt made a loving contribution to everything that I may humbly consider to be good in me. Her and my mother Gloria were not only sisters, they were lifelong friends and confidants, and oh, the things that they knew together and could have shared. I must add quickly, however, that I'm grateful for their discretion and the ability to keep a secret. Through their relationship, Dusty and I, being 1 year apart in age, he's older, by the way, although he doesn't look it, grew up more like brothers than first cousins. I've been told that's called cousin brothers, a relationship that we treasure to this day. Now, as far as memories are concerned, first, let me say that I will always be thankful when my father was tragically killed in an auto accident in 1965. Dell and Bep were the first people on the scene to care for my mother and my siblings, even though it took them half the night to travel from Savannah to where we were in Daytona Beach, Florida. Their presence in that dark hour was especially comforting to us all, particularly to a 10-year-old boy. Bep spent time helping and comforting my mother, while Dell entertained my brothers and sisters and me with a few of his stories and some much-needed laughter, a tradition he has continued to this day. Let me pause and say thanks, Uncle Dell. I prayed for you and have asked God to strengthen you during this difficult time, as you strengthened me so many times over the years. Many years ago, when my mother remarried and located us to Virginia, I became very homesick for Savannah and my extended family. My mother made a difficult decision and asked Bep and Dell to take this sad sack teenager in for a while. At that time, it was, as they say, just what the doctor ordered. So graciously, Bep, Dell, Dusty, and Vic took me in as one of their own for an extended visit that lasted over a year. I have never taken the opportunity to thank Dusty and Vic for allowing me to be more than a cousin, but a brother during those days. I never once through that time since that I was a burden to them or that I was in the way, even though I am sure at times I could have been. As many of you know, Aunt Bep was very hands-on in the way that she ran her household and family. I believe she was still barging into the bathroom and combing hair out and checking to see if we had bathed properly, even as teenagers. This practice was carried out particularly on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and any other time Crest Hill Baptist Church doors were open. As most of you know, Bep took church seriously, and under her faithful eye, she made sure we did too. Seeing her night after night reading her Bible and the Open Windows devotional book made a profound impact upon my spiritual life. Bep was always prepared for personal needs. Once, while passing through Savannah, I stopped for a visit on the way to St. Louis and told her that I had left my toothbrush, shampoo, and shaving cream in Atlanta. Hearing that, she quickly sprung to her feet, opened her linen closet, and there inside was a virtual treasure trove of almost every kind of toiletry you can imagine. My crisis quickly and inexpensively solved by Aunt Bep. I feel a little like the writer of the book of Hebrews when he wrote, "And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me." May I end by saying how much I look forward to one day seeing Bep again in heaven and rehearsing the fond memories of our Sunday and holiday dinners long ago at 24 West 60th Street, where Dusty and I, and later Brett and Vic, sat on the piano bench at the dinner table and fared sumptuously on Granddaddy Floyd's fried chicken, potato salad, butter beans and rice, squash and biscuits. It will be fun. Bep's passing has made a heaven a much more interesting place. She would want me to ask, by the way, are you ready? What a wonderful, merciful Savior we have in Christ. The old Apostle John expresses my heart today as I write this 450 miles away. He wrote to his beloved at Ephesus, "Having many things to write you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and to speak to you face to face, that our joy may be full." Thank you all, and God bless you. Lou.
Thank you, Rick. I guarantee you Lou would be here if he could. Mom grew up in a blended family. Didn't call it that back then. Grandma had been married Mr. Horton and lived over in South Carolina. She had two sons, Uncle Bob and Uncle Derwin. And Mr. Horton was killed in a tragic automobile accident. Won't go through all the details, but Grandma had known Granddaddy, Marvin F. Floyd, years before, and he'd had his eye on her for a long time. And they got together, and they had then three children. He took on a woman that had had two children, one that had cerebral palsy, Uncle Derwood, and Uncle Bob, who later on would get encephalitis and possibly polio, we don't know for sure, that began when he was age 7. They had three children, Aunt Gloria, Mom, and Uncle Bowie. And Uncle Bowie is sorry he couldn't be here today. He's got a very difficult situation with his leg. But in this blended family, these five children, they handled a lot of adversity. The death of Uncle Henry that came along, caring for these two brothers. And it was a joy. As we grew up with that, we grew up in a family, we just thought that everybody had that. That's how everybody lived and that had all these maladies. In fact, my dad has one leg that's shorter than the other since he was a child, was in an accident. And when they asked me at school, they said, your dad's the one with a limp. I had to think about it because I never thought about him walking with a limp. And one day we were filling out these things about details about your family. They said, how tall is your daddy? And I asked the teacher, well, it's according to which leg he's standing on. The teacher took exception to that, called my mother, and thought I was smarting off. Can't imagine that, me smarting off. Our grandparents, Mom's parents, were wonderful people. They were great people. There was a lot of love and is a lot of love in that family. It goes back in a Floyd tradition. Glad Tommy and Ronnie could be here today. The Lord bless you, man. Now, Mom was a beautiful woman. She is a beautiful woman. And she was a knockout as a teenager. There were boys hanging around. And my granddaddy had to have talks with some of them. He told one of them, didn't he, say, he's got shifty eyes. He ran one, and one that came up, they said, don't even come on the property. They're always trying to walk Aunt Gloria and Mom home because they were beautiful girls, almost, slept in the same bed like twins. But Mom had, kind of like in Greece, this like for that bad boy. Enter Pop into the plot. That exciting other side of the tracks kind of guy. And as we've gone back, and I apologize for the small amount of pictures, we just haven't had time to go back, but I promise you, you're going to see them on Facebook. We're going to put some of these old pictures together. When we put them on, we can scan them in so you can see. I want you to see the story that is their life, because it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. Their life together had many challenges. Vic and I had a brother that was between us. He was born in 58. He had spina bifida. He didn't make it, but he didn't make it to his second birthday. We can honestly say, Vic and I have talked about it, we never spent a day, an hour, a minute in our lives growing up wondering whether or not we were loved. You know, I counsel people every day, every week. I'm almost 60 now. And they're telling me about how they felt rejected, how they felt unloved. I told Mom this just right. I want to tell her again. She and Dad both want to hear it a lot and hear it from me and Vic. I listen to them, and I cannot say to them honestly, I understand what you're talking about, because I don't. I've never had that feeling. How about it, Dink? Never. Mom was a persistent woman. You know, it was sweet-smelling magnolias, southern genteel lady, dressed. I mean, it was right when she went out of the house, and she ran a tight ship. But underneath those magnolias was pure steel. I want you to know, she was a strong woman. She made it 60 years with that man. Now, we don't convey sainthood in our faith tradition, but there's a lot of people, and some of you sitting here today, they call her Saint Beverly. Jimmy Sharehouse called her Saint Beverly just 2 weeks ago. I said, Mom, you know, she had a sense of right and wrong. This was right and this was wrong. And there wasn't any gray area to talk about. It wasn't up for discussion. You know, this wasn't a debate. And it wasn't a debate about who was in charge at home. One day I came in, and this when it's before they renamed Boyd Street. But it was dirt. The streets around there on 59th Street were dirt. And I'd been playing marble out in the street. I had double pockets full of marbles. I'd done the shakedown on the boys in the neighborhood that weren't as good at me as I was at marbles. I came in, man, I was so proud of myself. I had all these different colored marbles and all. I was proud of myself. She said, where'd you get those marbles? I said, well, I just won them. And I thought, oh, man, I just said the wrong thing. She said, you know, that's just like gambling. Said, trot yourself on back out there to the street and get them boys their marbles back. Every single one. Foundation of everything in Mom's life was her faith. Now, we gave you the list of those churches. Some of you never heard of the Pierce Memorial Methodist Church, but it was on the corner of Boyd and 59th there on the southeast corner. It's a house. That's where the Robert McIntyre Methodist Church began. When my mom was just a baby, she crawled into that church building. And she's been getting us into church meetings ever since. We put John 3:16 on the little brochure with her picture there, because that was her life. For God so loved the world that He gave His unique, one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. First scripture I ever memorized. In fact, I probably memorized it even before I could read. And she explained the gospel to me. But she didn't do it just in words. She explained the gospel to us with her life. Her actions always hit you way before her words, because she didn't just throw words around. She was a humble woman. She had a tremendous commitment to the Lord, to His Word. I cannot remember ever in my life a time where she or one of my grandmothers was not reading the Bible to me, telling me the stories. When other kids were getting the King James Bible when they were 8, 9 years old, and that they would never read because they couldn't understand it, Mom said, "No, we're not going to get one of those." We went down to the bookstore, and she got me Egemeyer's Bible Story Book. Maybe three of you here that even know what I'm talking about. And it had the stories of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order and pictures, and it was in language I could understand. I got it out the other night, showed it to Megan. She wanted to make sure that children, her children, understood the gospel, the good news. It'd be a later time when Guy's daddy would seal the deal with me, as those same scriptures I'd been reading, as he'd bring it together and I'd finally give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. His dad, Thaddeus, is the one that discipled my daddy, who come over. Dad received Christ in his life when I was 10 years old. Dad was 35. And boy, we had a great home before that. But man, we have a fantastic after that. Mom had a love of children. She really took seriously Psalm 139 that says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you were a child and you were in her presence, you always thought you were special. Any children here today that were under her teaching can get a witness on that. Amen. Amen. Our extended family, our cousins, we love to see they later became our Virginia cousins because they moved off, come to town, and what joy, what joy. You see Aunt Gloria, she had 5 children, Uncle Henry died in that automobile accident. She married a man with 3 children whose wife had died. Diane's here, one of those. And then they had one together. So they had 9 children. And we would spend great, great times together. Mom understood the hearts of children. And she actually listened to what children said. It made a big difference. She could look in your heart and know what you wanted. At our house, it wasn't, mom and dad pushing you to, you're going to do this or pushing that. No. It was always, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in your life? Vic and I grew up with that. We thought the world was at our feet. That kind of love. That kind of freedom. You know, any of you psychological people understand Maslow's hierarchy of need. It's right up there at the point. That's where we live life. It's wonderful. We constantly had people eating at our house, especially every Wednesday night. We'd have spaghetti. And we never called ahead to ask if we could bring anybody home. We just did it. And people would come home and eat dinner with us. Mom was a faithful friend to many of you that are sitting here. And you know, she's gone to her grave with some secrets that you told her. She was so dogmatic about that and holding on to things and protecting children that anytime she ever went into the hospital, she wouldn't let Dad bring me and Vic to the hospital to see her because she was afraid she'd been under the influence of some sort of drug and say something she wasn't supposed to say. She told the truth and she expected you to tell the truth. And if you didn't tell the truth, well, there'd be a price. She didn't mess in your business. Never. She did admit to me a couple of weeks ago some prayers she had prayed for me as a child and as a young man, as she was quietly, but those steel magnolias, quietly but very profoundly before God, and He was hearing her prayers and protecting me. She is a great cook. She could cook anything every morning, eggs and bacon, hot tea, toast, honey. She truly was a Proverbs 31 wife to my daddy. 6 decades. She had an uncanny commitment to fairness. She told me on her deathbed, she said, "Son, I'm ready to stay here as long as God has a purpose for my life. But as soon as God is done with me," and she got that look, and she, right at me, eyeball to eyeball, she said, "As soon as He's done with me, I don't want anybody trying to drag me back." We kept that commitment. When Mom died, she literally had spent everything she had. And there was peace in her life. My Aunt Gloria handed me this. She was trying to remember this song, Barbara Allen. Remember that, Pop? Remember when those two Floyd girls tricked you into singing it? Aunt Gloria was down for a visit, and Dad blows in like he it was prone to do, ADD and all, and said, "Hey, I need to go to Brunswick. I got to check on a job down there. Y'all want to go with me? I'll buy you dinner." So they were plotting together, and they said, "Well, plotting and planning." They said, "We'll go with you if you'll sing Barbara Allen to us." And after some negotiations, he agreed. And on the way back, he sang that song. Let me read what Aunt Gloria wrote. "Beverly was Delma's Barbara Allen. She was the rose, and he was the wild green briar. He would have died for the love of her. The story goes that they were buried in the churchyard, the rose and the wild green briar. They grew and they grew until they could grow no higher. The rose and the wild green briar. When they reached the top, they formed a love knot, and they were bound together forever, the rose and the wild green briar." Right, Pop? And when the Lord's finished with you, that's when you'll go. Right? Okay. So, I conclude with this. And by the way, that Barbara Allen, y'all can go back and read all of the versions of that song. But the part that I'd like to add to that is that when God brought these two together, He had a plan. Plan of redemption forever. Because mom's not coming back, but we're going to go to be with her. Happy reunion day. I want to read you this. Guys already quoted part of it, but Dad kept mentioning it the day of mom's death, and I want to read it to you. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 4. But you, we read this at mom, as soon as the last breath went out of her body, we read this passage. And it's wonderful. But you, be sober in all things and endure hardship. And mom did endure hardship. Struggled with ovarian cancer 3 years, microavian infection probably a dozen years. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. Well, let's see, has Bep done the work of an evangelist? Well, right now, you know what she'd rather me be doing? We got a team leaving to go to Nigeria on a mission project. She wanted me to do that. I'm going to do that. I got my ticket changed. That'll be a later time. But that's her desire. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Boy, I believe mom fulfilled her ministry. She being dead yet speaketh. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And literally we watched her life be poured out before, didn't we? Judy, Brett, Chris, Paul, Retta, Diane, all of them. We watched her pour out her life before us. And the time of my departure has come. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. She was ready, he said, ready to go home to be with Jesus. And in the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who've loved his appearing. Now that last phrase is part of this funeral service that's about you. And to all who have loved his appearing. Are you looking forward to Jesus coming? Are you ready to meet him? The Lord Jesus stepped down out of heaven, became a man. God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lived a perfect life. Died on a cross on our behalf. 3 days later, he arose from the dead, victorious over sin, Satan, death. He ascended back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And today he receives all who come to him in faith and trust. And he says, you'll be with me forever. Do you know? Now mom flew away. So that's what we're going to do right now. She said, I don't want this thing to be sad. I want it to be happy. Because I'm happy. So let's stand up. And we're going to sing I'll Fly Away.
It's a celebration, so if you feel like putting your hands together or tapping the foot or whatever, I think Miss Beverly would enjoy that.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Mom. Lord, you blessed us. You gave us a gift. It's too short for us, 78 years. What a gift. I thank you. Lord, I pray your comfort now for my daddy, for my brother, for me. Lord, for Aunt Gloria. Lord, for all the rest of our family. Lord, for Leanne and Audrey, that she loved like her own daughters that she never had until they came along. Lord, bring your comfort. Bring your peace today. But Lord, I pray that the theme of Mom's life will go forth, that it's all about Jesus and a relationship with Him. Lord, I pray for many, many, many that'll hear the good news and receive Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And Lord, I'd be remiss if I didn't pray this, Lord, because she was praying for this. And Lord, that team that leaves today to go to Nigeria, I pray an anointing upon them and power that the good news will go forth. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God's people said,